Welcome to the Money and Time Machine podcast, where you can learn how to rage against the theft of your financial future by listening to a unique perspective on what's holding you back from a life of more money and more time.
Hello and welcome back to the Money and Time Machine podcast. I'm your host, Justin Paul. It's not every day that I struggle to come up with a title for my episode. I'm sort of playing around with the idea of will I or won't I? Today's podcast episode is part personal and part educational. My father is 75 and in the autumn of his life, but yet still full of dreams and with no plans to hang up his ambitions, has more recently brought up his will. A little bit more often than I can certainly recall, and perhaps it's been on his mind more so than in previous times. At different stages in our lives, things that seem less important become more important, and for my father, the idea of a will has been of particular importance. Recent stints overseas in particular to say his last goodbyes to close family had prompted him to rethink a few things, and infighting between family members, I think, concerned him more profoundly than I had imagined. There's something to be said about old family values and the idea of leaving behind a legacy in whatever form that might take, and it was serendipitous that I should meet my next guest at of all places, a weekend intensive copywriting course. It was an intimate and engaging online program, one where maximum participation was encouraged so that all present could learn from one another and their respective businesses, and how best we as participants could engage our target audience or our target market in ways that were meaningful, engaging, and ultimately would lead our perfect avatar or perfect client to match perfectly with the services and products that they are searching for that we are so passionate about in providing. And it's easy to be passionate about your product and service if you are my next guest. He certainly, in lieu of my introduction, piqued my curiosity and has unraveled a rather simple idea that many of us, for any number of reasons, have made complicated in our minds or have simply, because of its simplicity, chosen to deal with it at some other more convenient time in the future. And that, ladies and gentlemen, that thought alone has caused more people pain, tangibly speaking, in terms of financial and economic loss, and intangibly, the breakdown of their health and mental well-being, sometimes irreparably, the breakdown of relationships that at one time or another would have been unthinkable. My next guest, I want to clarify, can't and won't, by law, be offering any legal advice, but can answer anything procedural. Welcome to the Money and Time Machine podcast, Brendan Murphy from willhq.com. Welcome, Brendan.
Thanks, Justin. It's an absolute pleasure to be here this morning.
Look, thank you. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be talking to people where we share certain commonalities and interests. And I thought I'd throw in that caveat because you won't be giving any legal advice. Towards the end, I'll be giving you a bit of an introduction by way of people going directly to you. And then you can help people out and do what you do professionally. So, Brendan, I thought I'd start. You know, let's start with the most basic of questions because we just assume everybody would know what a will is. But what is a will?
Look, you're right. Everybody does know what a will is. It's a very simple set of written instructions about what you want to do with your, cliche, worldly goods after you pass on to your eternal reward. It's a legal document. It's not a complex document, even though the longest will in history ran to about 10,000 pages, but the shortest will was three words. So yes, it's something everybody should have, but if it's done simply, it can reflect one's wishes if they're simple and straightforward as well.
Thank you, Brendan. Thank you. That makes sense. It's not meant to insult anyone's intelligence. I just thought if we start from a basis of understanding, and then we can progress there. Now, before I jump into, how the listener may be able to benefit from your wisdom, Brendan, it was hard not to feel and appreciate your passion when we last met a few weeks ago. You really get warmed up when we talk about this thing called wills, and I think that was something that not just myself but other members on that particular program can attest to. So let me ask you this question: What are you trying to achieve? What is Brendan Murphy from willhq.com trying to achieve?
Well, look, to quote the immortal Blues Brothers, I am on a mission, Justin.
I can tell. I can tell.
I kind of broaden the story a bit, but first and foremost, about 60%, roughly, it's estimated, of adults in Australia, and that applies to other similar type countries, do not have a will. What that means is when they die, there's mayhem left behind for the families. So the first thing that I'm trying to achieve is to educate a mindset. Of course, I'm running a business and that's the way I will actually do it. But in the same way that you do your annual tax return or you renew your driving license, I want people to think once a year, and we get to the mechanism how I'm going to do this. I want people to think, ah, yeah, OK, I've got a will now. Let me review it. Or I don't have a will. Oh, my God, I better actually have a look at this, because if something awful happens, I want my family to be looked after. So I want to educate people, and I want to, by extension, give them the peace of mind that comes with knowing that their family, their friends, their beneficiaries, whoever that they have in mind, their loved ones, would be looked after if something, you know, not nice happened. And given the world at the moment, I think people are thinking along those lines a bit more than usual.
No, absolutely. I think you quoted as saying everyone must do the annual tax return, renew their driver's license, and register the births of their kids. But there is no requirement to make a will. And, you know, that's a topic for another time, because you always wonder what the agenda behind that is. So I'm really pleased that you're embarking on this journey of educating people's mindsets around that. Now, I think it begs the next question. Why should someone make a will? You know, I said, will I, won't I? Why should someone make a will?
Look, this is such a large question, because the answer is because you should, because every adult over the age of 18 should write on paper and actually just make sure their wishes are recorded. But we don't think like that. Obviously, most of us are not going to pop our clogs tomorrow, so long as the virus doesn't get us. So why should someone make a will? There are really two reasons. One is a positive reason and one is a negative reason. Anything to do with wills gets into the legal arena and gets into one's future debt. So it can be a serious topic. But the simple reason is making a will is the only way to pass on your worldly belongings as you wish. Because if you don't make one, the laws in your state, territory, country come into account, and they will distribute your goods according to the law, because it has to be done. And then that gives us the example of, you know, if you take an old conventional situation, and pardon the implicit kind of patriarchy, sexism involved in this, but I think your listeners will understand when I say it. If you take a conventional family, parents, let's say two or three kids, and if the house and the business and the bank accounts were in the sole names of the dad, and if he died a little bit prematurely before he had made a will, in Western Australia, and of course this varies by state and by jurisdiction, but in Western Australia, the intestacy laws, to use the grand phrase, come into account, and the wife would be given $50,000 to recognize that the property that she lived in should be hers. So what house is worth $50,000? And one third of the estate. The kids then get the remaining two thirds, less the $50,000. And what that means in practice is if one of those kids, for let's say for the sake of argument, needed the money for an operation because they're out of work, because whatever, they can force, and they would force without any effort, the family home to be sold, and their mum would actually be out on her tod with $50,000 and one third of the proceeds of the house. But clearly, that is an unfair situation, and everything to do with wills is old, it's archaic, it's manual, because there's no push to update things. And while in WA, the law will be changed and will recognize that house values have gone up, it still means you're at the mercy of legislation, of parliament procedure, of archaic processes. And you are at the mercy of that child of yours who actually might have a need for money for whatever it happened to be. So you can sense that I get a little bit frustrated is the word, annoyed is wrong, because these are simple things that can be cured. So therefore, if you don't make a will, the man, the big guy, big brother will come in and will do it for you. And it's rarely exactly what you want. So, you know, there are other ways to do this as well. If one of the children was in the family business, with a view to taking over the business after, let's call this gentleman, Mr. Smith, passed on. And if the will isn't there, that child would then have to buy out all the other family members, even if they had never worked 1 minute in the business. So it's just lack of preparation. So, you know, make a will or else, you know, the thing is just going to go pear-shaped after you pass on.
It doesn't get any more simpler than that, Brendan. Do it or else.
Yeah, regretfully, but that's the reality of it.
Brendan, it would behoove me, I know we're trying to make wills sound as exciting and attractive as possible, but you mentioned some facts and figures, and you know, I'll keep the boring stuff to a minimum, but I was surprised when, in listening to you speak a few weeks back, how many people within any population are oblivious to the impact of having a will. So as a result, I was astounded that I think something, maybe even half the population, simply don't have a will in place. Is that in fact true?
Yeah, it's spot on, Justin. In Australia, surveys have estimated that between 50 and 60% of people do not have a will. That's over 12 million adults in this country alone. Same applies to New Zealand. It applies to all the Anglophone countries, Ireland, the UK, Canada, the US, and it applies to most developed countries. And let's not even get into the less developed countries where, you know, without digressing too much, think of a place like India, which may be a developing country, but it's got a middle class of 400 million people. Wow. And half of those don't have wills either. So park that. Come back to the key number that comes from people not having wills. About 160,000 people die in Australia in a normal year. About 25% of those die prematurely, which I kind of say is under the age of 70. That's at the quarter of those die under the age of 70. And half of those die without a will. That means 20,000 people or families are in a situation where someone dies without a will and they have to go through a very costly and long legal procedure to settle the estate. Given how long it takes, it usually means that between 50 and 60,000 families or individuals or loved ones are going through this process any one time. That's an enormous amount of expense and delay, and ignore those two, because really, when someone dies, you're not usually in a situation to sit down with your lawyers or the probate division of the Supreme Court to actually get things settled. The grief and the stress and the shock are all a big part of it. So, you know, you have already mentioned mental health, and that this is not going to improve anybody's mental health.
Thank you very much, Brendan. I don't think we can talk about wills, and given your experience, without asking the question, I'm sure you've come across some notable and interesting wills. Anything you'd like to share? Is there anything of particular interest that could fascinate our listeners?
I was browsing it the other day, and this kind of probably doesn't say anything good about me. I was browsing a book written in 1913 about ancient and notable wills, and some of it is highly amusing and some of it is tragic. But just to mention, one of my favorite little stories is a guy died in 1799 in England called William Jennings or Jennings. He was the richest commoner in England at the time. You know, he wasn't an aristocrat, part of royalty. So in our terms, he was a billionaire. When he died, he actually had a drafted will in his pocket that wasn't signed. And therefore, given courts are really, really kind of careful about what they do, it wasn't admitted to probate, which is the process. So a guardian was appointed to his estate who happened to be a distant aunt, but it wasn't by blood, so therefore she wasn't going to inherit. she actually had some kind of great nephew, and she decided that that child would be the beneficiary of the billion pounds, dollars, euro, whatever. And after a number of years, the court was getting a little uncomfortable with this, and multiple lawyers were appointed to look after the estate. So I could actually talk about this for quite a while. But the upshot is, this guy supposedly had relatives in the US, and 50 years after he died, one of the first class actions in the US was put together to try and get a share of the estate. And not surprisingly, the lawyers defending the estate defended the estate. It carried on, it carried on. So bear in mind, he died in 1799, and the case concluded in 1913 because the estate ran out of money. Wow. The lawyers had got 100% over 113, 114 years of legal defense. And genuinely, this is not trying to get at lawyers. They really are very, very important in this process. They're vital. But it just goes to show that if the guy had just got to his lawyers and got that will signed, whatever he was going to do would have been done, and we wouldn't have an amusing story today. Now, the next one, which is, it's actually horrendous, but you got to smile at it. In the early 20th century in Canada, a guy called Charles Miller, he was a bit of a practical joker, very wealthy, and he died without direct family heirs. So in his will, he created a competition so that he would give his $10 million, whatever it was, to the woman who bore the most children over a 10-year period in the Toronto area, believe it or not. Not surprisingly, women were coming out of the woodwork. And in the end, it's almost modest in the end. Over 10 years, his estate was split between four women who bore nine children each. But there were a couple of women who bore 10 children, but hopefully smile at this, they were knocked out of the competition because some of those children were illegitimate.
That makes sense.
So, whether he was looking down from above and smiling at it, or whether he was appalled by what he actually did, your will is a very powerful document, and that actually proves it. Now, I did mention earlier, the shortest legally accepted wills in modern legal history, one was in Germany and one was in India. And while, clearly there are different legal systems, the Indian one is quite similar because it's based on common law, same as Australia and most Anglophone countries. And the one in Germany said, all to wife. It was signed, dated, and witnessed, and those things are crucial. And in India, it was all to son, again signed, dated, and witnessed. They were submitted to the court, and the court could find no issue with it, so probate was granted and all of the assets passed on. Now, that is not to be recommended, and in case there are any lawyers listening to this who are appalled, you are correct, this is not something to be recommended, but it still was legally accepted because the court saw the intentions of the people who were making the wills.
Well, Brendan, anyone that says wills aren't interesting needs to listen to this podcast episode over and over and do some more research as you have done. Brendan, I think you shared a little story that I can relate to, but I'm going to let you share it, but it comes part and parcel in the question, how did you start this journey or this business? I'd like you to share that. I had a good giggle when you mentioned what happened to you, and it was similar to me. So please let fly.
Yeah, well, look, you mentioned one of my favorite words at the start of the podcast, serendipity, and it was serendipitous. Just over a year ago, about 15 months ago, myself and my wife were out with friends. They mentioned that they were updating their wills, and they were just having a few what I call logistical issues, just some practical stuff they had to deal with. So when we got home, I said to Leslie, I'm just going to check that our will is where it should be. And because she is genuinely the organized together one of the two of us, she said, of course, it's where it should be. It's in the filing cabinet and it's marked wills. So I go to the filing cabinet in our home office, pull out the will to find it was dated 2001. So here we are, 2019. It's 18 years out of date. We had no children. We were living in Ireland. We had a different business. Our parents were alive. We had beneficiaries who now passed on and some beneficiaries that we have lost contact with. So in other words, if we were hit by that proverbial bus, that will was completely useless. We're, as you can gather from the accent, we're Irish living in Australia. Our guardians and our executors are still in Ireland. So we would have died effectively with no will. And our children, who at that stage were 15 and 13, would have been thrown on the mercy of the Australian courts. And, you know, that's, again, not to criticise them, but I would far prefer if we were organised. So I did what I consider any practical person would do. I went on the web. I am originally a chartered accountant by trade, not something that I'm practicing now, but it meant that I had a knowledge of legal documents and wills, and I wanted to find an application that would not only make a will, because that's easy, and it really is easy. You can go to Australia Post and you can get a paper template and fill in the blanks, and that is a legitimate will in a lot of cases. And I mention it because I'm determined that people make a will, not that they necessarily all make a will with my service. But I then found that there was nothing online that allowed me to manage the will. And that's where the whole process falls down. Really, the law and practice relating to wills, and it's half the reason I mentioned the longest legal case that I'm aware of in history, the 114 years for William Jennings, comes from the 18th century, not the 19th, not even the 20th century. It goes back that far, and it says that you need a will written on paper. It needs to be signed in ink. You should, now this isn't law, but it's practice. You need the same pen, the same ink for the two witnesses to sign. And then there's a couple of little procedural things you need to do in the will to make the thing valid. And while I could find something to make a will, it was the management. It was reminding me annually to go in, like your tax return, go in, have a look and see, is it up to date? Do I need to change it? Also, if I appoint an executor and I make a will, let's say I'm extraordinarily organized. I make a will at the age of 21 when I'm leaving university, and my best buddy says, yeah, I'll be your executor. And then 60 years later, while your executor from college is living in London, Paris or Antarctica, and he gets an email from the probate division of the court saying, you're the executor of Brendan's will. And he goes, so that communication aspect is hugely missing. And I wanted to make sure that there was something that could do that. When I found nothing, got into the market research, spent about 3 months talking to as many people as I could. And going back to the stats, the numbers, I was absolutely blown away when I talked to organized, educated business people, professionals, organized people, good administrators, that way more than 50% of them didn't have wills. Then I decided to build it. It's taken a year to build. It did launch last month. And not only does it make a will, and obviously you will have gathered, I hope, from just me chatting, all of our paperwork is drawn up by specialist estate and probate lawyers, those who really specialize in wills. And now it not only does it make a will, it gives you an annual reminder to actually review the will, and it sends communications to your executors and to your heirs to tell them that a will exists and where it is, and it doesn't disclose the contents. You know, clearly, most people will never say what's in the will until it's read. So it just tells them there is a will, make sure they can actually find it. And of course, then what I've done is I've added a bit of digital security, because part of the issue with the old practice of paper wills is, let's just say the odd one has been maybe abused. Signatures, forgeries, multiple versions, confusion, etc. So while nothing is perfect, we have built a system that allows you to make a will, to manage it, to keep it up to date, to forget about it, to do it in a human way from home, on your phone, on your laptop, on your tablet, to actually get your witnesses and do it properly. And then when you need to review it again, you can go in and do whatever you want to it. So, you know, we believe we've got something that is designed to simplify the process. And that was everything. The two words that I'm using all the time are education and simplification.
Now, thanks for that, Brendan. I know we have the occasional giggle and make light out of some of those scenarios, but the absurdity of what would happen if we didn't is certainly no laughing matter. And you know, if we follow on to what you've just shared with, you know, of what started your journey, you can't not ask the question, you know, the legal stuff. Is a lawyer required? I guess that's when I think wills, we automatically think lawyers, don't we? So what's your take on that?
Yeah, look, lawyers are not required, but this is where everybody should be cautious. Let me just say what a will is in legal terms first, and then come back to the lawyer question.
Yes.
So a will is a document in which you identify yourself, you nominate an executor, and I think everybody understands that. The executor is the person who will administer your estate after you're gone. So number two, nominate an executor. Number three, clearly you specify a beneficiary. Call that person what you want, an heir. Beneficiary is the general term. Then you say what you're going to leave to them. So in theory, all to wife is absolutely perfect. Then you sign and date the will, and then two independent witnesses must equally sign, confirming that they were in your presence and the will is valid. So that's really five things to make a will. Now, are lawyers necessary? Yes, they're absolutely essential if your needs are not straightforward. If you wanted to exclude someone from a will, if you have complex assets or holdings, if you've got overseas assets, you know, if you've been married and divorced 16 times, you know, if there are things that you are wary about, please go to a lawyer. Please go to a specialist probate lawyer. They're necessary. On the other hand, which applies to, in my mind, to 70 or 80% of the population, if you want to leave your worldly goods to your direct family with maybe a few gifts to friends or loved ones, maybe a couple of things to charity or good causes, a simple will is what you need. And that's what we have built. We have built something that actually fulfills the needs of the vast majority of people who do not have wills, so that they can do that. So, you know, here's the warning. Here's the legal word. Here's the caveat. Please go to a lawyer if you have any doubt whatsoever about what you want to do or how you want to do it. On the other hand, if you say, okay, I've got a wife, husband, partner, I've got 14 children, and I want to leave everything equally to them, that's it. Write it down in a will, give it to them, and that is as solid as it comes.
No, thanks for that, Brendan. I shared with you the story of my father, who's a very old school conservative. So he's on the side of the equation where, you know, he's had a will for as long as I've been alive and constantly updating it. And I shared with you that my youngest brother, who showed so much promise growing up as a young man, going through university and then hit a wall. I guess the good life, the party life, took hold of him. And 15 years later, in and out of psychiatric wards and what have you. And of course, where lawyers came into the equation, I think you mentioned this in our conversation a few days ago, was, you know, how it's easy come, easy go for someone who's got those challenges. And I guess the thing that scared my parents was this idea of their legacy being basically flushed down the toilet when there's little appreciation for, you know, the life that you've lived and everything that you've done to help out your family. And so in that particular case, yes, I think a lawyer was definitely needed, and they feel a lot more secure and safe. Well, Brendan, it sort of begs the question, you know, I've been wanting to throw it at you since we started, and maybe we'll conclude with this, but why don't people make wills? What is happening in the minds of people where the will just doesn't seem as important until it's too late?
Yeah, look, big question, and there's a bit of research in this, but it nuts down to a few things. The first thing is the human condition. If you can put something off, you put it off. If I'm 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, I don't expect to pop my clogs tomorrow. So I'll do it next year. And when you combine that with, you know, a lot of people's real fear of death, they tend to put it off. You know, the second reason is it is kind of legit and it's half not legit. People don't want to go to a lawyer. And the legit part of it is it costs too much. If the shortest legal will in modern history is three words going all to wife or all to son, you know, I went this from the angle I didn't want to pay, you know, a couple of thousand dollars to a lawyer, because not only would myself and my wife have to had made our wills, because we had kids under the age of 18, we would have had to put a few other documents in place as well. So it doesn't need to cost that much. And people legitimately don't have a couple of thousand dollars to throw around. And that's very understandable. Now, the one that kind of always makes me raise my eyebrow is younger people, 20s, 30s in particular, will tend to say, oh, well, look, I've nothing to leave. And then I say to them, have you nominated a specified beneficiary in your superannuation or your life assurance? And they go, in Australia, obviously, superannuation cuts in as soon as you start work. There's usually life assurance with that. And if you don't specify the person who gets the benefits, it goes into your estate and, you know, the story continues. So most people will have a couple of hundred dollars in a bank account. You know, most people will have a car, a bike, a skidoo, you know, whatever it happens to be. You know, little things really don't matter. But the answer, why don't you make a will, and I have nothing to leave, I have no assets, doesn't really wash anymore. And the last one, which is kind of common, is, you know, I don't have a family. I don't have a wife, a partner, a husband. I don't have kids. So why should I make a will? And refer to all the previous ones that I've just said. Duh. You know, if you don't actually make a will, Big Brother comes in and distributes according to the law. And at least that law is there and the will doesn't stay in limbo forever. But just because you don't have a family is no reason to do something. And now that, you know, little plug, now that we have simplified and made it very inexpensive to do it conveniently, I get back to my mission to get people to bloody well make a will, if you'll pardon the expression.
Brendan, I've really enjoyed this dialogue, this conversation, and I will certainly never think about or look at wills the same as I have previously. If someone is listening to this podcast and future listeners are listening to this podcast, how can they get in touch with you, Brendan? That's my gift to all of my guests. Please give you a little time to plug your details, and so how can they get in touch directly with Brendan Murphy?
Look, there are two methods, Justin, and thank you for that. I really appreciate it. I'm available on email all of the time on brendan@willhq.com. And that's, you know, as given my accent, the correct spelling, brendan@willhq.com. Very simple. And then, of course, they can go directly to the website, which will give them pretty much a lot of what I've already said, and it allows them to play with the application. There's no commitment. People can go in and look, because it goes back to, I want people to make wills. Of course, it's commercial and I have to make this business stand on its own 2 feet. But you can go into willhq.com, read about, you know, what's involved, and then just go to the application on the start button. And it allows you to walk through, and you don't have to pay anything until you decide that this is a good solution for you. And I hope people will take that up. But please do contact me. I'm very happy to correspond or to talk to people at any particular stage. And I won't give my phone number because of time differences. I know you've got listeners scattered all over the world. But by email, if the time works, I'm happy then to phone back or to talk to anybody. You know, this is one of the little pebbles that we're starting with to get information and education out there. If anybody picks up this message and they become the next pebble, I would be extremely grateful to them. So willhq.com.
Well, there you have it. I want to thank my guest, Brendan Murphy from willhq.com. And you are certainly free to contact Brendan directly at brendan@willqh.com. Sorry, that's brendan@willhq.com. It's a simple process, and Brendan can assist you in any which way you'd like. I'd like to emphasize the importance of making a will. And if you already have one, like the similar stories that Brendan and I shared, to keep it updated, keep it relevant. It provides peace of mind and clarity, and not to mention dignity, should that time come, as it will to all of us, that your worldly belongings be attributed to the people you choose and for your reasons and your reasons alone. I find solace in knowing that even after my passing, I will be able to affect the people I love and hold dear in ways that will improve the quality of their lives, not detract from it. So, as I started this podcast, will you or won't you? Till next we speak, please take care.
Thanks for listening to the Money and Time Machine podcast. And remember, you're either someone else's version of a money and time machine, or you can learn how to become your very own effective money and time machine and to live with purpose on purpose.